You are listening to Amplify Your Success Podcast, episode 170. And today, listen up, ladies. We're going to reveal how to awaken aligned feminine leadership so you can be a powerhouse. You ready for this? Let's get started.
Welcome to the Amplify Your Success Podcast. Hey, are you a thought leader, creative entrepreneur, or change maker and want to magnify your impact? Boost influence while creating a financial abundance? Stay tuned for today's inspiring episode with your host, Melanie Benson.
Hello there, inspired business owners, entrepreneurs, online business owners, all of our amazing community who's designing a business around their expertise and the work they love the most. It's your host, Melanie Benson here, Profit Amplifier. I'm excited for today's episode. It was a long time coming, getting this rock star to get on the podcast, and it's worth every listen. And I'll introduce her in a minute. But first, and as excited as I am to introduce you to my guest today, I'm also really excited to give you access to something we've been working on behind the scenes for quite a few months now. And that is how to get magnetic in your messaging on podcast interviews, on stages, basically anywhere you're out sharing your message and attracting ideal clients. And what I want to share with you first, this is so important, is to recognize where the mistakes are that you could be making in your delivery on a podcast interview that's literally repelling your most ideal clients. And everybody does at least one. Some people are doing all 17, and they're literally crushing and killing the opportunity to attract an ideal client. And I don't want you to get caught off guard. I don't want you to have that not so great feeling of crickets when you've worked so hard to deliver your best work out into the world on an interview. So grab it right now at getmagneticmessaging.com/report. Download it. And I want you to look it over and do just a quick assessment inside. Which of these are you making? Which ones do you need help fixing? And come on over to the Amplify Your Success community. The link is in the show notes. And let us know, what are you committed to mastering this year so you can attract more of your best clients on podcast interviews, online shows, stages, wherever you want to be a beacon for your best clients. Now, speaking of rock stars and being a beacon, let me introduce you to my guest today. I'm so excited for this conversation today. We're talking about feminine leadership and how to awaken it so that it stays aligned. And I have a guest joining me today. Her name is Michelle Villalobos, aka the Superstar Activator. She's the host of the Awaken Your Inner Superstar podcast and creator of the Superstar brand and business model. Her mission is to activate superstars, thought leaders, speakers, authors, experts, consultants, and other service-based entrepreneurs to grow contribution-focused, lifestyle-friendly businesses without sacrificing themselves in the process. Many superstars face the daunting challenge of how to scale themselves. And while their work is rewarding and creative, it can also be exhausting, high pressure, require a lot of travel and personal appearances, such that they're constantly singing for their supper. And I don't think any of us really wanted that. So Michelle's programs and her superstar model help superstars monetize their magic and leverage scalable and sustainable ways. Michelle, I'm so excited to have this conversation with you today.
Thanks, Melanie. I'm so excited to be here with you.
Well, I think I'd like to start with, what is leadership mean to you? Because it's such an interesting word, right? So many people associate it with Fortune 500 company or being a CEO, but I really love your definition. So let's share it with everybody who's listening in.
Yeah, for me, leadership is about enrolling people in a vision, a mission, a message, a movement. It's about influence, but influence in a way that maybe a little different than what we normally see in our culture. Influence not from a place of persuasion or manipulation, but rather this idea of enrollment, right? This idea of sharing something that's so compelling and with an energy that's so attractive that people can't even help but be drawn in. That's the way I see leadership. It's an inspiration rather than a persuasion.
Right. So it's not managing. That's a different concept. It's inspiring people into a common vision or into taking action of some kind. And you talk a lot about how you believe leadership really needs to look different for women. Why is that?
Yeah. Well, you know, if you think about it, the world we live in for the last 10,000 years, since pretty much the agricultural revolution, has been a masculine, patriarchal construction or framework. You know, that's the way it's been. And if you Google leadership right now, today, what you'll see is, and I've counted, out of every 20 images or so, 17 to 19 of those images depict some sort of a man or a male figure in some sort of masculine looking role. And so the way that leadership has been for 10,000 years has been heavily influenced by the military, by war, by ownership of resources, binding of resources. And we've gotten to the point where we almost, you know, we're in it and we don't even necessarily see it anymore. But if we bring some awareness to it, you know, there's a question of, is this really the only way that leadership can be done, quote unquote, right? And so the way I see it and the way the world is shifting now is that the feminine is starting to rise, is starting to become more valued, more listened to, more influential, naturally. And what's interesting is that when you study leadership, like lately, even the latest leadership research is showing that really great leadership is more transformational than transactional. And that means it's high in emotional intelligence, it's nurturing, it's loving, it's caring, and it's connected. And these are really qualities that the feminine nature, the feminine is by nature, the feminine energy, the feminine design. And so bringing this into the business world, into politics, into every aspect of life, we're starting to see it happen naturally. And, you know, it's just something that we can actually become more intentional about too and say, all right, what is feminine leadership? And in my opinion, and from the work that I've done in the research, you know, it's something we can cultivate. Men and women can cultivate it.
So let's dig a little bit deeper and unpack this concept of aligned feminine leadership, because we're not just talking about the feminine, we're talking about alignment.
Yeah.
And, you know, what better time in the evolution of our country, right, to bring this concept forward, because I truly, truly believe that alignment is a very powerful energetic force.
Yeah.
And I cannot wait to unpack this and share with our listeners and our community today what's really possible when we're in alignment.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and let's, you know, I think the easy way to end that conversation is, what does it look like to not be aligned, right? That's really, that's how I came to this work. I was so out of alignment. My life was completely not a reflection of my truest, best self. I was out of alignment with my purpose, with my values, with my lifestyle that I wanted to lead. I was out of alignment with my strengths and my gifts. Like, there were so many areas for so long, decades really, of misalignment. And without going too deep into that, the whys and the blame and the complaint and all that stuff, it's just simply that, you know, the way I grew up, I was encouraged to be very different than I really am. And I think that that's a pretty universal feeling for a lot of people, and women especially, of like, you know, being told to be a certain way or being encouraged or conditioned to be a certain way that's not really in alignment with who we really are. Mm-hmm. You know, a small, easy example is simply like, hey, Michelle, you know, like, you know, don't be so loud. You know, don't talk so much. And can't you tone it down? And no, you can't be a writer. Writers don't make money, you know, things like that. There's just a lot of that conditioning.
I would love it if we could maybe share a couple of examples, because I think it's like logically we get what this means, right?
Yeah.
And yet I think sometimes this out of alignment hides out in our shadow.
Oh, yeah.
It shows up in behavior that we kind of socially accept in the world,
oh,
but
yeah.
yet it's eroding our confidence. It's eroding our self-esteem. It's destroying our motivation and our inspiration to show up, right?
Yeah.
Maybe, and I'm happy to share some of mine as well, because I went through this very similar path. But maybe could you give us just an example of a symptom? Like what were you doing that was out of alignment that woke you up and you went, I can't keep doing it like this?
Well, I have like two really big moments in my life that like literally are kind of moments. The first was I was interviewing my best friend from college about 10 years ago, maybe a little less, on stage at my Women's Success Summit. So the life I was living at the time was very much success and achievement focused. I was I had been a straight A student, Ivy League college, master's in business, 4.0, like all the things that you're supposed to do. It was almost like I was still trying to make my parents proud, right? That was my kind of one of my number one drivers in life, was please them. And I'm on stage interviewing her, Eugenia Kim is her name, and she's a famous, well-known hat designer in New York City, has a really successful business. I'm interviewing her about her business and I'm asking her what she does all day long. And she basically tells me that she doesn't work much at all, that, you know, she's gotten to a place where she gets to design and shop and travel and come up with all these crazy, awesome ideas. And that she has this team that executes for her, and that the team doesn't even like to have her in the office because they say she messes everything up. And why don't you go out, Eugenia, and just shop some more and design some more and let us handle this back here at the office. And I literally on stage, I have an image of this, Melanie, I have a picture, a photographer captured this. I have this massive bitch face on because I'm so jealous. I was envious right there. I was like, how did she do this? You know, this is a girl who didn't do as well in school as I did and wasn't, you know, as focused or, you know, as focused as I was. And I loved her and I was happy for her success. But at the same time, I felt massive amounts of like, wow, look what I've done. I've done the opposite. I built an entire business at the time around my weaknesses. I hate most of what I do all day long. And I don't do as well as she does. I'm not living my dream. I'm not enjoying myself. Like that was a big wake up call right there on stage with her. And I realized that I was completely out of alignment with what I wanted, with my desire, with my ideal role in my business, with what I had created for myself. So that's the first one.
Yeah, I think a lot of people can relate to. I certainly can. That was a big part of my out of alignment phase, because I spent the first decade of building my business. I'm entering into my third decade of being in business.
Wow.
That's intense, right? But in my first decade, I was very ambitious, very driven to succeed. And part of it was because I wanted to prove I could make it successful,
yes,
right?
Yeah, that's what I did.
Yeah, so I built a business that was very financially successful, very dominant in the industry, very much the envy of a lot of my colleagues. And I was slowly dying inside because it wasn't really embracing what I call my superpowers, the things I really wanted to do.
Yes.
I think this is a really common journey. Yeah. A lot of people go through, especially women in the expert fields that we serve.
For sure. Definitely.
And it's not really sustainable, right?
It's completely not. I mean, really, I was going to share that my next big breakthrough was obviously, but it was also another big massive breakdown. And it's when I finally got sick, you know, there was no sustaining the level of intensity that I was operating at. And my body finally gave up. It said no more, sorry. And I had kind of one of those years, 2014, where everything fell apart all at the same time, like massively. I had gotten engaged, and then I got disengaged in a very dramatic fashion, worthy of like a Dateline NBC episode for real. And then 2 weeks later, I got this health diagnosis. And within 2 months, my business had come to a screeching halt because I'd stopped focusing on it. And it required my constant attention. It was a monster that had to be fed business all the time. And when I stopped, when I focused on, you know, licking my wounds and starting to take care of myself, the business stopped too. And that was, you know, the worst, darkest year of my life, which led to this opening of this learning what we're talking about today.
You know, one of the things I love about my role as a podcast host is sometimes I get to have these exquisite conversations with someone who is telling your story. You're literally telling my story. Wow. I knew there was some synchronicity when I met you, and now I know why. Wow. And I think this is so important for us to share because I think we're at a time where people get to make new choices. Yeah. We're airing this episode at the beginning of 2020, and there's something about this new decade that is opening up like an expansiveness around possibility. And I think the more of us that talk about what leadership can look like, so it's sustainable, it's aligned, so it fuels our soul, the more we can create businesses that can sustain themselves when we, as women or business owners, if you're a man, want to go out and do things that feed our soul in a different way.
Yeah, 100%. I agree.
So how does somebody start awakening this kind of new paradigm of leadership?
So I actually have kind of, I'm a very creative, conceptual person. So I've sliced and diced this, excuse me, in a bunch of different ways. And one way is this very simple four-part model that I call ALMA. ALMA in Spanish is soul. And it's so ALMA. And the A stands for alignment. And that alignment piece, there are these six elements of alignment, at least for now, until I come up with another one or two or three. But right now, for me, what seems to work, and for my clients, is to start with this idea of identity. Who do we see ourselves as? And even better is, who are we really underneath the layers of socialization and conditioning that we've put on over the course of our lives? So identity is an interesting word. People interpret it differently. But when I use it in this context, I'm talking about tuning into yourself, knowing who you are. And that specifically, you know, can look like, you know, your strengths, your gifts. I use personality tests and profiles with my clients. I use them on myself. You know, my background originally was in Myers-Briggs. And so I believe a lot in using these assessments to get insight, not to label ourselves, not to pigeonhole, but rather just to open up a new conversation. And so identity is the core of that. Like, what do I love to do? What do I do, whether or not I have to? You know, what are the things where time stops and I'm in flow? You know, and then what are the things I hate? And what are the things that I really don't enjoy? And I'm really giving ourselves permission to not like what we don't like, you know? And I feel like that's the thing with the good girl syndrome. A lot of times we do stuff because we should, and we lose sight of what we really love and enjoy doing. So identity is at the core of that. And then I'll just quickly rattle off a few others. Another is purpose, becoming in alignment with purpose, with vision, with what the vision we see for the world, with our values, what we believe to be, you know, we don't compromise on our values, grounding in those values, those core commitments and beliefs. Our life force, alignment with our life force energy, like what brings us energy? What's energy rich for us to do? And, you know, the aligning with the rhythms and cycles of nature, light, sleep, food, community, seasons, you know, like the self-care piece. And then personal power. So like aligning with or recreating belief systems or what we believe about the world, letting go of the past, choosing our past, choosing where we are, trusting, developing that letting go of control and forcing outcomes in life. So those are the kind of key areas where I focus on when it comes to alignment. That's the first piece.
Well, it's a really powerful process, especially if you're not, if you haven't done this kind of work yet. I would imagine that you may actually at times think that you're already there, right? Like yeah. I think sometimes our ego thinks we're in places that we're really not. And it's not until those symptoms we were talking about earlier started yeah. popping up. And I was going to say earlier, and I forgot because I got so enraptured by your story. I think one of the signs too, that you're out of alignment is there's a lot of unnecessary drama and chaos
yes.
as you're trying to grow, right? But those steps yeah. that you were just talking about, just like this felt so beautiful about like, so as we move into alignment, sometimes the shedding does create a little burn off drama, but it yes. should minimize a lot of that, right?
Yeah. Well, and it feels good. So I'm not, you know, I'll be fully transparent. That's kind of how I roll. You know, it's not been an easy year for me this past year, 2019. But I'm coming at it from a very different energetic than I was, mm-hmm. say, 5 years ago in 2014, because I've developed a lot of this with myself. But what I realized is that I was still operating from the 5 years ago version of me in a few areas. There were people on my team that I'd had for years. And this year, it sort of all fell away. And it was painful. You know, there was a reason I'd hung on. There was a lot of love there. There was a lot of loyalty, but there was also misalignment. And sometimes if you're not going to do it, the universe will take care of it for you. And usually that hurts a little more than when you know, make the choices and you say, all right, this is what's going to happen. So I'll share that, you know, alignment can be messy. You know, getting into alignment can be messy. It can be a little painful. We can resist it. But the difference is when you're moving into greater alignment, you can feel it underneath all of it. There's a sense of like, yep, this is the right thing. This is true. You know,
I'm so grateful for your authenticity because I think sometimes people see the package that we put up on stage, right? Or the package that gets put up in social media yeah. and they think, oh, look at their blessed life. You know, they don't realize what's going into it behind the scenes. And the more we can yeah. kind of strip away that illusion that it is all perfect and that it is all this perfectly packaged experience. No, it's messy. It's uh-huh. can be brutal. Like it's humbling. Like our souls get yeah. crushed at times. Oh. And the more we embrace that and realize this is actually part of the becoming, right? Yes. It's part of the evolution and the like claiming our role as a leader. It's like, yeah, we're going to go through some shit storms to get there. You know, and that's okay.
Not only is it okay, that is perfect. And that's the yeah. big reframe for me. You know, I used to have this, I still struggle with this. It's like this idea that there are certain things that are good and certain things that are bad, right? Mm-hmm. Like this is good when I get these outcomes that I want, and this is bad when I don't get the outcomes, right? Or when things are messy or difficult. And the reframe, I have a friend, I can't remember his name at this very moment, but he says to his clients, he says, his name is Jeff Nischwitz. Okay, good. I wanted to honor him. Jeff Nischwitz, he says, everything is already okay. You know, like when things are terrible, a lot of people be like, it's going to be okay. Don't worry. It'll be okay. And he goes, no, it's already okay. If you can just be with that messiness and trust, even without really understanding, but trusting that it's perfect in its messiness, which by the way, the mystery, the feminine is the mystery. The feminine, you know, to some degree is the messy. It's the dark, it's the unknown, it's the changeable, it's the flow, you know, whereas if we think about it like yin and yang energy is, you know, the yang is the masculine, it's focused, it's structured, it's organized, it's clear, it's directive, it's competitive, right? Like that's kind of the masculine vibe or the yang vibe. And then the feminine is the water, it's the flow, it's the mystery, it's the moon, it's the dark, it's the unknown, right? And we need both. And when we try to, when we name or label things as good or bad or right or wrong or this or that, you know, we get into these polarities where we're dishonoring the feminine, really.
I love that. I'm almost getting this, like, this is what leadership is like, mm-hmm. instead of being reactive and allowing ourselves to fall into this victim, this is happening to me, right. which I've certainly been in those stages in my growth.
Yeah.
We start to, yeah, like as leaders, one of the muscles and the skills I think I'm hearing you say we develop is this, how do I embrace all of it and allow it to be a good, like it's our mentorship. It's our cauterizing of becoming the leader we need to be to pull off the vision that we're making a stand for in the world.
Yes, ma'am. And it's funny that you said all of it and you said it with that emphasis because that is one of my favorite phrases. I was sitting in a retreat with a woman who went into this like deep meditation and came out and she's like, I get it now. She goes, why wouldn't I want all of it? And she said it so big with her arms outstretched and I'll never forget seeing her yell that out. And I was like, yes, all of it. That's human. That's life. That's why we're here, is to experience that bandwidth and that larger bandwidth. And when we try to control things so that we only experience what we like or what's good or what's right, we limit that bandwidth and we're having such a limited experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My mom always used to say, and I wanted to smack her when she would say this to me as a teenager, right? Because you're like, you want your mom to like go, oh, it's okay, honey. She used to go, look, honey, if you can't embrace the deep lows, you can't have the big highs. And I'm like, mom, I don't want the big lows.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But it's so true. You know, it's like, oh, yes, she was planting seeds of greatness as a teenager, even though I was rejecting them.
Yeah, but it made its way in there, clearly. Yeah,
eventually, it all came back as beautiful fruit. Yes. So, Michelle, I want to like kind of anchor back in the what's possible when we really like embrace this awakening of feminine leadership. Like, what is the outcomes that are possible for us that maybe we're missing out on right now?
Oh yeah. Oh gosh. So many outcomes. I will share quickly. And then I do want to like just give the other three pieces of the model because
I feel like that
would also share some of those things that can be created from this. But you know, it's like more grace and ease, more love, more surrender, and not surrendering from a place of giving up, but rather surrendering from a place of like dancing with life, you know, being, you know, dancing, like a beautiful dance of surrender, of accepting, acknowledging, receiving. Receiving is a big one. You know, I notice a lot now how much I resisted and rejected the gifts of life, you know, and not wanting to receive. I can do this myself, or, you know, like that need to prove something really shut a lot of gifts and love and opportunities out. So the model, so the second piece of the model, because A was for alignment, the second is for leadership. And that is really the way I see leadership in this context is expression. What is your expression in the world? And that comes from both a kind of intangible place, like what's the energy that you're putting out everywhere you go, all the way to the more tangible, what are the words and the expression that you're communicating out in the world? If you're a speaker, what's the message that you're sharing? What are you speaking into existence with your language? And then all the way to what are you creating in the world? For me, expression is not just communication through words or body language, but also like your innovation. What are you bringing to humanity? What are you bringing to the table? You know, is it your art? Is it your book? Is it your support, your leader, you know, your coaching, your consulting? Like, how are you bringing your gifts into the world? That's the leadership piece. And then the third piece is the manifestation, AKA monetization in the business context, right? What's, you know, now that you've put this expression out in the world, that's backed up by this beautiful alignment and the energy that you're creating from is much more elevated because you're in alignment. What is going to be coming back to you as a result of that? What are you attracting back, and are you receiving it? And that means not just the quote unquote good or bad, but like all of it. How are you receiving the experience of life back to you? And so that's, you know, having gratitude and having that, that receptivity, you know, is a beautiful thing, and it creates more, you know, it's like a virtuous cycle. And then the final piece is amplification, or amplify, which is, all right, now that we're doing this work of alignment, leading, manifesting, or attracting back into us, how are we turning the dial up on that? And the really amplification, in my view, comes from co-creation with others who are also aligned. So it kind of goes into this beautiful circle where we now we've attracted in opportunities and people ostensibly who can now help us to amplify whatever signal we're putting out into the world.
Well said. I love, that's a great formula.
Thank you.
Alma.
Alma, yes.
Great. I love it. You know, I really want to inspire people to get to know you better and take advantage of things that you're putting out in the world. I know you have a really cool first step you're gifting our listeners today. Do you want to share what it is and tell everybody where to find it?
Yeah. So if this is intriguing to you and you're looking to really turn up the volume on this feminine intelligence, I have these couple of videos where I explain more about the feminine intelligence and the feminine design, and then a video about how to cultivate it, some of the practices that you can use to cultivate more of that feminine energetic. So these are just two little short videos, but they're pretty powerful, and it'll give you something to get your mind flowing, but also, you know, start to move you more into your heart as well, which is one of the ways that the feminine design works best.
Mm. And where do they find that at?
They can get that at awakenedfeminineleadership.info.
Great. So it's awakened with an ED?
That's right.
Okay, good. Let's making sure.
Yes, thank you.
So awakenedfeminineleadership.info, and I will make sure to put that on the show notes for all of you if you're scrambling for a pen. Michelle, you've been so gracious with sharing your story, but I always like to dig a little bit deeper. And, you know, I think as we look at amplifying, we also have to look at like, what are the steps we've personally had to take to get there? What would you say is one of the boldest moves you've had to make to get where you are today and really like claim this awakened feminine leadership space?
That's a great question. I think that one of the boldest moves that I had to take was distancing myself from certain people and groups of people. Mm-hmm. People that I grew up with, or people that, you know, it's just people that you would, it was difficult to separate from certain people and not separate completely, but just rather change the dynamic of our relationship. I'll be fully transparent. I don't think my parents are ever going to listen to this podcast. They don't even listen to mine. you know, my parents are old school. They're very different from me. They really don't get any of this, and they're not really all that, they're not interested in it either. And for a long time, I came at that with judgment and with pain, you know, and resentment. And I'd say one of the boldest things that I've done is to let go of that, accept them for who they are. And that's a daily, you know, process. And also to distance in certain ways too, and to remember that they're them and I'm me. And that rather than going to them like I used to in my business before this awakening and seeking approval, seeking guidance, now I only really share sort of here's what I've done, here's what's already in existence, right? Like, I don't need your advice about whether this is a good idea, because I know that that's probably going to be a no, but rather here's what I've created. And if you want to be a part of it, you know, I invite you in. And so that was kind of a big thing for me. I grew up in a very Catholic kind of traditional environment, even though my parents weren't super religious, but went to Catholic school, lived in a Catholic country. So just a lot of rules and regulations around what it is to be a girl, what it is to be a woman, and having to kind of turn my back on some of that was very challenging.
I'm so glad you shared that. And I could see why that would be a bold move that many people have to make, and whether it's family or friend groups, or maybe it's a mentor or a team, you know, like I think as we claim that next level of us, we have to be cognizant of, are we surrounding ourselves with people who inspire us to continue to do the work, who inspire us to be great. And I want to draw a distinction here, because I think sometimes people get a little conflicted by the idea that they might have to move beyond certain friendships and relationships or family members. Right. What I think Michelle's saying, and I know this is for me as well, is like, we're not saying you disconnect and disown people,
right,
unless
no.
they're super toxic and you know, you can't have them in your life. But what we're really saying is like, you're putting boundaries around those relationships and really embracing what role they can and can't have on your future success.
That's it. Nailed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I we've talked about this a lot over the 20 years of me being a business mentor and coach. And I think sometimes it gets confused. So I just wanted to make sure everybody really understands you don't have to divorce people.
No.
But sometimes you do have to limit your contact with them and limit the conversations you can have with them.
That's right. Yeah. Perfect.
Thank you so much for sharing your journey with us. And thank you for inspiring this awakened feminine leadership with my community and our community, really, because we're all serving the same people.
That's right.
As we close out this conversation, maybe you can leave us with an aha or an insight that serves you so well on this journey.
Yeah. I would say one of the biggest, more recent developments or more recent insights or ahas for myself that I've been sharing here and there, even with men, and it's like, huh, it seems to resonate with people. So I'll share it here, is that in our culture and the way that I've always operated in the past was, all right, have an idea. Let's create a plan. Let's put it into action. Let's go. Boom, boom, boom. You know, like one, two, three. And strategize, you know, not giving a lot of space or room for the idea to germinate. Mm-hmm. And one of the big things that I've learned about the feminine design is that we move a little bit differently. In an ideal world, we would one of my mentors, Nani Leah Diamond, calls cultivate the dream first. I never gave a lot of space to cultivate the dream. I always operated very quickly, like almost out of scarcity, like I'm going to lose it or someone else is going to take my idea or yada, yada. And now the way I'm operating is more from a place of, all right, I have this idea. Let's spend the next 3 months cultivating it, germinating it, nurturing it, nourishing it, playing with it, being curious about it. But like giving it space to develop rather than like immediately putting it into action. So something I invite you all to consider, especially in the season of winter where we are right now in the cycle of nature, winter is the season. This is also part of Nani Leah's feminine blueprint that I've studied. This is the season of hibernation, of germination, of things underground. You know, getting there, it's not like nothing is happening. Everything might seem dead on the surface, but you know, the trees are still alive and they're still doing things down, you know, underneath the snow. It's somewhat kind of the same with an idea, like giving it that space.
Mm-hmm. And I would imagine this is how we make sure it's really aligned.
Yes, exactly.
Less reacting, more really letting it percolate. Pause and percolate.
Pause and percolate. I love that. Yes.
Oh, I love it so much. And so follow that inspiration. Go explore the Awakened Feminine Leadership videos that Michelle's put together to help you really kind of activate that feminine leadership inside of you. AwakenedFeminineLeadership.info. And again, we'll put that in the show notes for you. Michelle, thanks so much for exploring all of this with me today for our Amplify Your Success community. It's been a really extraordinary and inspiring conversation.
It's been beautiful. Melanie, thank you so much for your listening and for your awesome questions.
This is Melanie Benson, your host. Thanks so much for listening in today. If you want to catch up on any of the show notes and circle back on any of the resources we shared in today's show, head on over to the show page at AmplifyYourSuccessPodcast.com. And remember, you amplify your results faster when you're in a community of other people who are moving and shaking. Join us at AmplifyYourSuccessCommunity.com. One last thing. When you've gained insight from today's episode, help us share that and inspire other people by heading over to iTunes, subscribing, and give it a review. iTunes absolutely loves seeing these reviews pop up, and it actually helps boost my show's visibility. So I would be super grateful for your reviews. And as always, I love seeing your shares of these episodes on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Come find me over there. Tag me in your shares. I'll give you some social media love right back. So see you next week for another inspiring episode of Amplify Your Success Podcast.